So my good friends, we last week finished the 15th meditation and now we're about to do the 16th, but just to give us a running start, so this 15th meditation was the irony of how much preparation we put into going on a journey in this world, or going on a trip for leisure, for business. We do a lot of packing, a lot of preparation, prepare every article of clothing you can imagine, every cosmetic, everything we could possibly need, our hotels, our travel plans, make sure we go on a good airline, good steamboat. We make very meticulous preparations for a short trip of a week or two, and we prepare long in advance. And we're not even sure if we're going to make it, because it might be an emergency, and you might even get on the trip, and they might call you that one of your relatives got sick, so you'll never get on the trip. They might call you that, a margin call, you have no money to pay for the trip. So there's all kinds of possibilities. You might not make this trip, or the ship might sink, and it might be incapacitated. These things happen, and believe it or not, planes, someone's got to get canceled, if you can't believe that. Sometimes planes never take off. So the trip in this world for which we prepare so elaborately may never happen. But the trip to the world to come, which is guaranteed going to happen, guaranteed death and taxes are guaranteed. And death is even more guaranteed than taxes. Because taxes, the president might give a tax cut, you know. But the president cannot grant a pardon to death. He can pardon lots of stuff, the president, but he cannot pardon the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper shall do his grim work, and nobody can be pardoned from that. Nobody. So that is a guaranteed trip, the trip to the world to come, the trip to our final judgment. And says the Chovas above, it's funny, we make very little preparation for that. And we take it very not seriously. And it seems to be something in the way far of distance, although a person can drop dead today. Can drop dead any second. We don't take that whole trip. That's the beginning of the trip. And no one takes it too seriously, although that trip is forever. And the price that Hashem exacts for it is a very steep price. And we will have to give a din v'cheshbon on every single thing we did in this world. So it would make sense to start making some serious preparations. But we don't. So that is the 15th meditation in a nutshell. The 16th meditation is a natural follow-up on the 15th we just mentioned, and that is that a person should think taka more seriously about death. A person should think how other people have died, a very sudden, abrupt death. Many people who are younger than you or I have just dropped dead. So you think back in the course of your lifetime, it would have been maybe died to keep a little diary. How many people I could think of younger than me, friends, who suddenly just were like that, cut off in a car accident, people with children, everything was changed. People just suddenly get cancer and they die very quickly. People get massive heart attacks, people with strokes, just like that. So there's no pre-warning. Not that they were sick for a long time. People just get strokes, heart attacks. Young man here, Monty, a big Talmud Chacham, who would believe it? It's unbelievable. Man, about my age, last year, big Talmud Chacham, lively, dynamic person, Baal Tzedakah, everything, had all the good, they had every good reason would say, well, this is going to protect him, he has so much Torah, Gon, Baal Tzedakah, Askin for Tzedakah, he's a Gabbai Tzedakah, everything you can think of, Yichus. He had every mile in the world, and he was just like that. He's still alive, Baruch Hashem. But he had a debilitating, crippling stroke just out of the clear blue sky. And he says that people just get struck down that Arem as Kal. There's no hint. There's no inkling. There's no inkling. So there's nobody who is guaranteed not to die. Death comes to everybody. Any month of the year, death can come any month. No special month for death. Av is not more sugal to die than Adar. You can die just as quickly in Adar as you can in Av. And there's no day of the year that's protected. You can die on Simchas Torah, you can die on Yom Kippur, you can die on the happiest day, you can die in Shavuos, you can die in Sukkot. There is no day of the year that is invulnerable to death. You can die any day of the month, any day of the year, any hour of the day is good, any hour of the night is good. There's no statistic, maybe there is a statistic, I wonder, but more people die at night than they die by day, more people die in their sleep, I haven't heard such a statistic. Maybe there's some little, you know, quirk, but the etzem, people can die anytime, any place, anywhere, any place, any age, death is guaranteed. And he says, there's no such thing that, you know, dafka, old people die suddenly, many young people die suddenly, little children have died suddenly. We don't keep track of these things. And girls don't die quicker than boys, and boys don't die quicker than girls. And little babies die, and there's this Cripps syndrome, and the SIDS, sudden instant death syndrome, Rachmana Litzlan. So death comes every place, everyone, everywhere, anytime. Rich people, poor people, makes no difference what your economic level is. So therefore, a person has to be ready for death any moment. And actually, you know, great people live like that. That's one of the secrets of becoming a great spiritual person is thinking about death. And I'm sure I mentioned it sometime in the last 2 months that Rav Gifter was asked by one of the Talmidim, how come he remembers everything? You know, your mom is such a fantastic, he had a very good memory actually. But he asked him, you know, the Rebbe, it's easy to remember, you have such a photographic memory. But I can't remember so well. So Rav Gifter said to this Talmud that I really don't have such a great memory, but whenever I learn a Blat Gemara or a page of Chumash or a Rashi, I sit down to learn, I have the feeling this might be the very last time I learn it. I might just be called to the Rabbi Shalom in an hour. I might die. I may never see this Gemara again. I may never see this Parsha Chumash again. I may never see this Sif in Shulchan Aruch. So I learn as if there's the last shtickle for me, the last piece. And that's why I remember, because I'm like a desperate person. I must chaperai. That was his answer, the resulting answer. People who live with a sense of death, and when in 1985 I had the schus to accompany my Shrei Tzeret Shol, it was one time I went with him, my wife and my mother-in-law, she loved me well, and he went to buy his gravesite in Har Zeisim, so he was so happy, because he said it's a school of Arichas Yomim to buy a grave in your lifetime. And why? But that's what it said in this forum. But why is it a school of? He said, because you buy your grave in your lifetime, the younger you are, you'll think about the day of death, because you just paid for it. You paid for a grave, so you'll have death in your mind, because you know you're being buried, and therefore you'll live a more cautious, better life. So therefore, that's the school for Yichas Yomim. The school for living longer is by living better. And the school for living better is by thinking that you might not live long. So it's a cycle. By thinking I might just die tomorrow, you will live a better life and you'll live longer. So he's very happy to buy his kever. And I realize now, you know, it's very interesting. When I was in Miami Beach, an old couple approached me. And right after this, Mama's like, not long after my share bought his kever. And they say, you know, we went on the tour, and the tour guide got us to buy Kfar with Har Zeisim. I realized the tour guide got cut from the Chevra Kadisha. And we spent a lot of money, thousands of dollars on buying Kfar. They're rich people. And then we came back home. It's ridiculous. We have children here in America. They're not going to come there. The children are religious even. The kids are not going to come there. It's not the place for us. No one's even take us there. What do we buy Kfar with Har Zeisim for? Of all places, Mishigas. So we don't need them. So we want to give you a gift. So if you want, here's the deeds. And you can have the quorum. Great present, Shalach Malas. Here, Rabbi. Yeah. That's a new... Someone gives me a funeral for Shalach Malas. That's a little encouraging. Here, Rabbi. It beats cakes and candy, I'll tell you that much. That's for sure. It's a definitely bigger school for Yerushalayim than giving me cakes and candies. But the kids there, so I took the deed and I went there to Shul Tak and I went to that Chevra Kadisha. And sorry, no way, non-transferable. That's it. Seriously, that's it. I said that's good if you don't know who the people are. You want people to have Shoma Shabbos. But here I am. Hello, it's me. You want? I'll get a letter from a certified Orthodox rabbi. I'm Shoma Shabbos. I'll write it to you right now. So this guy wouldn't budge. I said, what a racket. Like okay, I was upset, but nothing helped. I did a little protection, a little pull, nothing helped. They do not transfer. Okay, because I honor it, and really, them is fine. Although I've heard plenty of transfers, but I'll give this particular family, they haven't transferred. So I was upset, but now it suddenly comes up, Tell the Gazach that now after Rav Gifter was Nifter, we buried him in Har Zeisim. So the Chavad Gdisha says, you know, that the two kfarim right next to Rav Gifter and his Rebbe are still available. The Mamash. And the prices have gone down. There's a market in kfarim. Because the price in Har Zeisim has gone down. I just spoke to somebody, they told me they paid this 3 years ago, they paid $6,000-$7,000 per grave. Then they offered this for $4,000. That is a bargain. I'm telling you, it's a big bargain, Har Zeisim. Because people are afraid to go there because it's a little dangerous. But, what? Yeah, but the people. But the Chevra Kadisha is alive, you see. And the children who want to visit you, they're alive too, you see. But the fact is that, so the Kfarim Mamash next to them are available. And the truth of the matter is, so I can get those Kfarim. And so I put in my application. But not only that, the truth is, honestly, it was not in my best interest to take a gift. You're supposed to pay Kesa Mali. If anything you pay for, you know, you send me all kinds of shop money. Don't send me Kfarim, please, because Kfarim you should buy with your own money. That's one thing you should buy with Kesef Malay, with the most kosher money you get. You should buy your kever, and it should be full price. I mean, whatever, it's still normal, and pay for it in your lifetime for your own money, and it should be ready and available for you. So I'm really happy I didn't get that gift, and not only that, I even got a better location. So, but b'kitzur, it's good to have a kever. First, you know, again, people think all of us are Baruch Hashem relatively young, but never too young to buy a kever. Never too young to buy a kever. There was Grada, an interesting fellow in my shul in Miami, usually a married the Gemaisa, the guy who really made the shul, who was mamash the sugar daddy of the shul. This person, the Chaim Gavriel Zev, mechanic, this fellow came from Baltimore. And he must have been born like around 1900 almost. And he came, his parents were quite religious. But in Baltimore in those days, 1904, he was actually born 1904, Lachaira, according to the Cheshbon. And he lived 80 years, he died in 1984. So there's no chinuch. My share was in Baltimore in 1916, there was still no chinuch. But 1904 there was mamash nothing. So Kamara's whole family went off the derech. We're not Shomer Shabbos, except for one sister who married a very firm fellow, a famous doctor, David Stern, who was the first rabbi of the first Sanhedrin in America. And he was a very chashuva person. He actually taught math. He did Silchanim. And my shver had him for a math teacher in high school. And he said, the course is called math, but this person only taught us Yerushalayim. That's all he taught all day. He didn't teach them. He taught Yerushalayim. So it's the real cheshbon, the real din of the cheshbon. This Dr. Stern eventually became the principal in Torah V'Das. He became the English principal in Torah V'Das. He's a big tzaddik. He's a wonderful family today. He's a wonderful, wonderful family. So the kids, sir, so Mr. Mechanic was always Mr. William Mechanic, Mr. Chaim Gavriel Zev, was always in Orthodox shuls. And he was always the president of the shul. He always wore a litvish yarmulke. But, it didn't come to Shmir Shabbos. So finally, when he was 70 years old, he was very friendly with Rosh Hashiva. She was Yitz Chaim. He says, you know, my mother, his mother is buried in Har Zeisim, in a very chush of a place, not in the new part, but mamash, the Chelkas HaNavi, very chush, with the Alti Yushalmis are buried. His mother was buried with the Alti Yushalmis. He's the only buried next to my mother. Not next to his wife, next to his mother. His mother doesn't want to be buried. His wife wants to be buried in America. So the Rosh Hashiva of Eitz Chaim went with him to the Chevra Kadisha, and the Chevra says, fine, this is 1970, and this is, what, 30 years ago. So then already he wanted like $5,000 for a kever. If I'm not mistaken. A lot of money, but he's a rich man. He says, great, no problem. Oh, but 1 second, we have one little time. Are you Shomer Shabbos? No, not Shomer Shabbos. So, sorry, can't bury you. I'll give you $10,000. No, can't bury you. That, no matter. So he tells the Rashiva right then and there, okay, I must be buried next to my mother. I will become Shomer Shabbos. That's it. So, okay. So he goes back home to Miami Beach. And the man is 70 years old, and he was not so well. He had gout. So here there's the West 46th Street in Miami Beach. And the closest shul is well over a half mile away from his house, and it's hot in Miami Beach. And this man always is the president of every shul he goes to, and gives every shul the same attire. But he he now he can't drive to shul anymore. He promised to come to Shomer Shabbos. He wants to be buried next to his beloved mother. So what's going to happen? He comes back to Miami Beach. He discovers that just then, like in the last shtickl tzeit, a block away from him, West 47th Street, a new shul opened up on the storefront. So around the corner there's a shul. So he can walk, a block he can walk. So Rav Moshe made it when he decided to come to Shomer Shabbos. Rav Moshe prepared that there should be a shul ready for him. That's it, Rav Moshe prepared a shul for him. So he became a Shomer Shabbos. And he was a wonderful person. And Grada was when he was Nifter, that he was buried in Har Zeis next to his mother. That was the first time I ever went there. So I said, for his Hakamas Matseva, I must be. Now, I went there for the Levaya. I'd never been there. So I went to his Levaya. But the Chiddush was that because he thought about the Yom HaMoves, and he thought about being next to his mother, he wanted to be worthy of being next to his mother. So even though he, in his lifetime, the whole family had, you know, except for his one sister, that they couldn't live up to the mother standards because of their, you know, particular circumstances, the chinuch in the turn of the century. But is thinking about the Yom HaMoves, and I'll never forget once I went over to the other side. So I came after this all, I was the Rav there after this all occurred. I came, I was the Rav in much later, 1980 already. No, so it was 1970. It must have been about 1975, actually, that he bought the Kfarim. It was about 10 years before that. So I began the Rav in 1980. And I see once on Shabbos, he comes to shul with a handkerchief in his pocket. So I knew the story. I said, listen. So I knew that he doesn't understand what's wrong with carrying a handkerchief. I said, listen, you know, this is the rule. This is called carrying on Shabbos. You don't have to think so, but you made a commitment to be a Shomer Shabbos, and therefore this is called carrying. You gotta do it. You can't carry a handkerchief on Shabbos. So he, Rabbi, whatever you say, I made a commitment to become a Shomer Shabbos. I have to live up to the highest standards of Chevra Kadisha. I'll take the handkerchief in my pocket. That's it. Whatever I told him to do, you know, whatever I told him to do, he would do. He was anything because he was thinking about Yom HaMoves. So, the Chavos Lubavitch says that a person should think all the time, prepare, we might die any second. You never know. And he says the mashal, which really the Medrash gives, that if a melech would give you a pikot, a melech would give you something very precious, and he wouldn't say the time when you have to return it. He would just say, listen, I might want it back any time. Right? I might want the money back any time. I might want to have this car back I lent you any time. So the person would constantly be worried every single second that the melech might want it. I mean, somebody else, you might not care. But the king says, you must be ready to give this back to me any time. So the person would be on the alert, on the attention, always to return the pikot. So he gives another mashal. He says, there's another mashal. This mashal doesn't seem to be so powerful. Again, if somebody owes money to somebody else, he tells, I lent you money, get ready time to pay me back. People don't take those things so seriously. That was his second mashal, but it doesn't seem so dramatic. So he says, when a person thinks about the day of death, and he thinks about how young people have died, and he says like this, he says, Kfar Omar Achad HaRachamim. He has so many of these folk sayings. Says the Chavos Lubavitch, a great wise man once said, we don't know who he is, Mishmetzayer lefnei einav es hamoves lefnei boyoy. The person who can imagine with imagery in front of his eyes the day of death before it comes, Yodua shetikin asatma. This person is clear, it's a simon, he's masakin himself. Chassidus Shavartz, he's saying over here. You want to know, a person who is zichem masakin himself is the person who can think about the day of death. What he's saying is gevaltik. He's saying the reason why don't we think of the day of death? Because we're in denial. You know why we don't think of the day of death? We don't want to think of the day of death. It's too scary. It's not that we're stupid. Everybody should think of the bad sin. We should think of the day of death. The only thing is we know we're not ready for the day of death. And we know we're so not ready for the day of death. And we know it's going to be so horrible. We come to the Beis Shalmala. And it tells us for 3 days and 3 nights, say over every old Torah you know. And we'll stand like Golomim. Say over what you know about Peh. And we'll sit there for 72 hours. I'll start with Olive Beis. Olive Beis, I got straight. I can say Modani. No, a little bit better. The first Mishnah. How's the first Mishnah? I bet I know the first Mishnah brought about that. Starts with Me'emesai. No? Me'emesai comes to Shabbat. I haven't been sure if you can't have nothing left with the I know if I know the end of the Mishnah anymore. I used to know about Pet. I don't know. It's the first Mishnah, Rabbi. You have the first Mishnah. You don't know the first Mishnah. How about the second Mishnah? Oh, come on. That's not good. The second Mishnah. I just learned Mishnah this morning before I came. I forgot it already. I learned Mishnah Shvi'ah. So I chazed it twice this morning. I don't even remember it. So the reason why we're not massacring ourselves on the day of death is because, the reason we don't think of the day of death is because we're not ready. And since we're not ready, we're scared. And since we're scared, we like push it off as if it's not going to happen. So Mele the Chacham is such a gewaltig avort. A person who can constantly have in front of his eyes the day of death, it's Yodua that he is massacring himself. And it's really fascinating. Everyone noted there was such an amazing thing. My Shver, Zichron Levracha, Zechas Hever, wrote his Tavor. He wrote his Tavor in 1964, when he was only 48 years old. That's pretty young to write. A very detailed Tavor. That Tavor, how he should be buried. Nothing to do with Nechosim. He has no Nechosim to give out. The Tavor about what they should do when he dies. Noah spayed them, what they should write on this Kever. Very detailed Tavor about which Talmidim they should tell about it, and then Mishnayos, and then Shmaso, and it was very, very detailed. The age of 48, which is quite young. Actually, his parents had died at that time. He lost his father and mother at that time. I guess that's when you start thinking about death. As long as people's parents are alive, they don't think about death. But a person should think about it as quickly as possible. And he says, Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, Leiv Chachamim Mebei Seivel, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. So a smart man thinks about Avelis. And Kehos also says, as we all know, Toiv lelechas al beis Eivel, milechas al beis Mishta. Better to go to a Shiva than to go to a Chasana. Vasher Soiv Kaladam, because the Chasana, you don't have to go to Chasana, there's no guarantee you'll ever, the Chasana is a Chasana, but Eivel reminds you of death, which is inevitable. So it's very important to think about death, Vasher Soiv Kaladam, because we're all going to end up in the matzav of people mourning over us, and the live person should take this matter to heart. Could you get me a Rambam, please, over there? Last Chelek, Chelek Zion, Mishpatim, please. Yeah, there. There's that over there. So, and what's the Pshat Chai? Thank you. Chai is the person. Chai Yitna Liboy means really alive. Let the living take to heart that they're going to die. Hachai, if a person is really alive, he's alert. Hachai means lebedik, air. He's alert. He's a pikeach. He's really smart. That's the person that puts to his heart, like the Chacham said. As he's touching up the pshat and the puzzle, like the Chacham said. The chai, the person who's really alive and alert, is the person who puts to his heart the Imam Avas. That guy really alive. He's lived life properly. Like the Chacham said, whoever can think about the day of death in front of his eyes all the time is a siman he's ready for death. It's a siman that he's living his life properly. He's masakin himself. And it says also in Tilon Kuf Mem Dalet, Adam Lahevel Dama, Yomav Kitzel Over. Man is like a vapor, just like a vapor. You breathe a little breath in the winter. You see a little hot air and it just disappears in 1 second. So to a mensch, that's all we are. We think we're so strong, we're so permanent, we just built a new house for myself, just remodeled my house, and it's stark, I put new sheathing on the outside, it's going to be stronger now, my house, and it's stark, my business is good, and the sheets are, and my whole system is good, my economic level is good, I just talked to my accountant, it's for April 15th, I look stark, it's havel, it's just a bluz. Yomov kitzeloiver, a man's life is like a fleeting shadow. And the Rama Paskins in Hilchas Avil actually, that Kol Mi Shein Mesabel, the Rambam in the Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, whoever is not Mesabel properly, like Chazal commanded, he is an Achzor, he's cruel. Cruel? Who's he cruel to? He's an Achzor, Achzori. Ella, what's the right way to do the Mesabel, the Shdogadach? Yifache, the Yidag. The Yafashri Jamaisa. Avelis means, the purpose of Avelis is not to mourn. We have a totally wrong conception of Avelis. People think Avelis is, we're mourning over the dead. That's not Pshat, says the Rambam. Avelis is that the living person should do tshuva. That's what the purpose of Shiva is. Shiva is not to sit there like for 7 days and just cry over the person who passed away. There's no love to cry. The love is only Avel can't be happy. So he shouldn't be Mesiach Das Mavela, so the Avil should not take his mind off mourning. What's mourning? Not crying. No halacha to cry. Mourning is repentance. El Yafache. Now they see that my relative died, I should be scared. The Yidak, I'm worried. The Yafashi is for myself, I should go over my Maisim. The Yachzer B'tshuva. The Echem Ne'e Chabura Shemeis, if one of your Chabura dies, to the call a Chabura Kula, everyone should be dying. That's why Hashem made it happen, to shake everybody up. First 3 days, of Avela is supposed to feel as if there's a sword, Munach, it's the Gemara. You're supposed to feel as if there's a sword on the living, the mourners should feel like there's a sword about on their neck. They're in danger. From the third day to the seventh day, there's a sword, but it's in the corner of a Karen's office, but it's still there. Afterwards, Kilo Oiveres connected with Shukr. After the Shiva, should feel as a sword, though there is a power of death, is walking in front of me in the street. So what is the Rambam saying, if not the imagery of the Chavos Levavos? A Yid has to live with imagery. A Yid lives with Tsurim. A Yid has the Mamish. We have, until the whole day, we have a power of fantasy. Fantasy is a gift from Hashem. We use a power of fantasy all day, thinking all these fantasies. If only I win the jackpot. If only someone would come and give me $1 million. If only I could get a better job. If only I could retire. If only this would happen. If only someone would tap me on the shoulder and make me the secretary of the state. I deserve. I get covered. If only. So Hashem gave us a fantasy imagery. I'm supposed to use it. What are you supposed to use it for? So here's a good example. Says the Rambam. It's a Gemara. That the first 3 days that someone dies, the family should feel that their mom is in mortal danger. That means the sword of death is around. Hashem is really targeted the whole family, and just he chose one particular person. But the whole family is in this. The next 3 to 7 days, the sword is right there, it's in the corner. Know your volume. And the next, the whole year, as long as you're still in my velas, like a sword is walking in front of you in the street, bashuk, bashuk, kilo averes, kinegda bashuk. The call is that. What's it all about? The Rambam, the Musa Sefer. Kol zez of the Rambam. L'hochin atzmoy v'yachzor v'yeyer mishnasay. The whole purpose of all this is one reason. To wake up and to do tshuva. To prepare us to be lachzor, to do tshuva. V'yeyer mishnasay, to wake up from our sleep. We are somnambulists. We are sleepwalking. V'yomer, v'harei omer, hikisa yisam, v'loichalu. The Navi says, Hashem, you beat them. V'loichalu, didn't feel anything. A person, when he gets beaten, should wake up and get scared. We're supposed to be scared. People have this mishagas that bitachon means that gam zlatova, and therefore I'm not scared of anything. Nothing scares me. All I have bitachon. Someone died in the family, I'm strong. I am not scared. I'm tough. Don't worry, I know terrible things happening, but I have bitachon in Hashem. That's not bitachon. That's an idiot. That's an ostrich putting your head in the sand. Bitachon is, that's being a zombie. That's making yourself into a non-human. Bitachon is, I feel the pain. Bitachon is not, this generation is mamash like that. And then, ani b'saychem, many people think bitachon is, I tune out the pain. I will not feel pain. I'm oblivious to pain. And we can do it. People, we have, I call it the Teflon personality. That you can put Teflon coating all over your heart, so that no matter what sorrows come, it just slips off, doesn't bother you. We can make ourselves insensitive. It's gavaltic. A person can live in their head. I know exactly how to do it personally. I can just put everything in my head. I can rationalize everything. I can turn on the big B word, the bitachon word, and say, bitachon means I have no feelings. I have no pain. I accept everything. There are a bunch of them. I have no pain. That's not bitachon. Bitachon is I know that there is pain. I feel the pain. I acknowledge the pain. And I know Hashem wants me to have the pain so that I should use my mind to do tshuva, and the pain should keep me awake, that I have a lot to misaka, I have a lot to fix up in my life. Bitachon does not mean I will not feel pain, I accept everything, and it's fine, everything is good, everything is great, and I'll grin and bear it. No, bitachon, you can cry, scream, faker, tamay yikra, the Gemara says, my person has tzaras, you should cry out and tell other people, we have this false pride, that we have to be, I don't want pity, I'm a strong person, I can take it. Tzaras does be strong. Torah doesn't tell us to be strong. Torah certainly says chazak yisalish. In certain areas, the Gemara says four things need chizuk. You have to be strong to learn. You have to be strong, says the Gemara, to do business. So derech, if you want to do business right, you got to be strong. Whatever you do, you got to do it right. The Gemara says a few things need chizuk. Davening needs chizuk. Davening has to look at the siddur, fall asleep in the siddur. There's nishkin gedavens, right? Gedavens is stark. The kailas davening the zimra. Baruch Hu, Amen Yishei Rabba. One of the things is chizuk, davening is chizuk, learning is chizuk, and learn kanak, just don't sit back lounging, cross your feet during davening, because you're learning, chizuk. But it doesn't say you have to chizuk when sorrows come to you. We're makabel yisurim, bava. The chizuk is, I feel the pain. I'm strong, I feel no pain. No, Mackenzie Chayusvein, then you go to your friend, the Gemara says, Tommy Yikra, call your friend up, ask him to daven for you, call a Rebbe up, call a Rosh Yeshiva up, very powerful, go to Rosh Hashiva, as the Gemara says, and Baba Basra, you have a tzar, you have a sick person in your house, you go to a chayla, you have the Rosh Hashiva to daven for you. Rosh Hashiva is maybe more powerful than the Rebbe, afilu. Rebbe's are great, I'm all for Rebbe's, but the Rosh Hashiva's have powerful tefillos too, in the Schus HaTorah. But tell people about it, and vein zechayis, and you can have red eyes, it's nishkefel, it's false pride. Mamar the Rambam says Avelus has nothing to do with crying over the Nifter. Avelus is crying over ourselves. We have to cry over ourselves. And that's what the Rambam starts off, says, Komishim Mesabel Kmoshativa Chachavim. A person doesn't mourn like the rabbis command. He might be mourning like the Goyim do it. The Goyim mourn in their Meshagas. They're mourning for the dead. We're mourning for the living. I'm mourning for myself. Oh, you beg, what's going to. So, Pilipulim says, Avelus is the Pshat that I'm mourning for myself before I die. So I'm mourning already what I'm going to look like if I die without preparation. So Avelus not a mourning, it's on myself. And therefore, if you don't do it, says the Rambam, you're cruel. Who are you cruel to? You're not cruel to the dead person, you're cruel to yourself. The biggest cruelty is to be cruel to ourselves. We're the Bamish, we are despots to ourselves. We think we're nice people. We're cruel. We are cruel people. The cruel people. We are mama, we do all kinds of terror. We're not letting the Shama languish. We're letting the Shama waste its life away. We waste our time, we waste our life. We mess up our lives, and we don't even care about it. And the poor Neshama is suffering. The Shama is pain. As I feel pain under the surface, it's unbelievable. And we subject our poor Neshama, as Nafshia Yechida, we subject the Neshama to so much pain. It's like a Bas Malachim, it's like a queen. It's like a princess who's married to a boor, like the Mesil Yisharim says. It's like our body is a boor, a coarse, vulgar, garnished, a garbage cleaner, and the neshama is like an edla, sweet princess, a zoy shein, as a edla, as a genteel, and has to live with a zah boor, a zah rake, like my body. If the neshama is in pain, if I do tshuva, I'm making my body, I'm improving myself a little bit, so I'm being nice to my neshama. Otherwise, says the Rama, if a person doesn't do tshuva like they're supposed to, a person is not sorry. So this is what the Chavis of Avos, a Mer de Gazach, a person who can think about the day of death before his eyes all the time, it's a rise Masakin himself. So again, so this is what you, so that's the Chavis of Avos, when you're going down the palisade, don't turn on the radio, don't listen to 880, don't tell me you're listening, and don't listen to the music, and don't listen to the news, and don't listen to the stock reports, and don't even listen to a Torah tape. Turn everything off, and think of Yom HaMavos. Think what we're going to look like at 120 when the Beit Shammala goes through every single thing we did, word we said. And if you can't handle going through your whole life, just let's go through yesterday. Let's go through a rerun of yesterday. How many people did I hurt? How much time did I waste? How many times was I insensitive and cruel? And I didn't do my job, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and I cheated my boss because I didn't put my foot kaychas in. And I wasn't really honest, and I lied here, and I lied there, and I'm a shagit, so my wife, I gave my wife so much tzaras. How many times I neglect my wife, neglect my children, Just go through yesterday, go through 2 hours, the last 2 hours, make a little rerun, that's it, turn the radio off, turn the tapes off, keep your eye on the odometer, don't go over 85, and just cruise down these palisades, and be mitzayer the Yom HaMavos. You walk in the street, you think about Yom HaMavos. If you walk down the street, and instead of looking at the shops, all these shops are the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says, go window shopping. So it doesn't cost anything, window shopping. Should cost your name on window shopping. Window shopping is free. What's wrong with window shopping? It's a tumult of the cup. Your whole head is with yearnings. And oh, I look so great in that mink coat. I wouldn't buy a mink coat. Oh, I would look so great. Oh, I wish I had a mink coat. I mean, I wouldn't buy a mink coat. Whoa, look at those beautiful gowns. Oh, my parents married with a shmata gown they gave me for my chasana. But look at those gowns these girls are wearing today. That's a gown. That's a suit. That's a pickle. Oh, jewelry store. I would never buy this jewelry. I can't afford. But that's what, the jewelry. So instead of our mind having imagination about Yom HaMavos, as we imagine what we look like in jewelry, what we look like in this kind of car, I would buy this car, Rabbi, but I just love going to the Jaguar, my favorite car. The Jaguar. Dealer, just to check out the latest Jaguar, the grill, it's that grill I love. It's that new grill with the Jaguar in front. I look so cool just cruising down the Palisades at 105 in my Jaguar. I wouldn't buy one. What are you wasting your time thinking about yourself in a Jaguar? Think about yourself in a coffin. That's a better thing to think about. Think about yourself in the coffin, in shrouds, in tachrichim. So, what? If you go 105, you might just find yourself in one. But the Maisis, everyone knows the story about Rothschild. It was one of the Rothschilds. I think it was the Frankfurt Rothschild. Zev, Reb Zev. William Wilhelm. Every day he would disappear. He would disappear from his counting house in the middle of the day, and he would go in his way in his carriage, someplace. And no one knew where he went. And one day, one of the workers decided to follow him. He was very curious. Every day he disappears, and he saw that they're taking his carriage outside the city limits of Frankfurt. And he went to the Beis Olam, and there by the Beis Olam there was a Rothschild mausoleum, like a Zat Oyel. And he went to the Oyel, and he had his own kever, his dog already. Although up here, you don't really dig a kever in advance. His kever was dug, and he took off his beautiful frock coat, took off his beautiful silk hat, put down his silver top cane, and he put on tachrichim, put on his own tachrichim. It's a hevegalet in the kever. And he said to himself, Ma'oid, Rabbi Levitas, Aymer, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Havei Shvaruach, Shetikvas, Enoi Shrima. A lot, be humble. Ma'oid, Ma'oid, Havei Shvaruach, Shetikvas, Enoi Shrima. Because we all that we can hope for in the future is guaranteed that we will be eaten by the worms. We'll all rot and decay in the grave. And this is how he kept himself humble. Rothschild, the legendary, fabulously wealthy Rothschild, every day at lunchtime, this is how he remained in Erlich. He was with a few Erlich ones. The rest went gone with the wind, the rest of them. Shiksus, they're all, okay, I think all Schwarzman is someone going already. Come on. But Azoi Haltman Zich, Mitzayer Yoim Amovis. This is the 16th meditation, and I'm not ending off in a davar ra, and that's the biggest simcha. The biggest simcha of a person lives up with this in mind, this is really living a happy life, because this is a life that is a meaningful life. Rabbi Chanaim Akashim is a good part of the Zakh is Joel. Fichim al Tarmiz, there's never there's a man Sitka. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. So, last week we left off in the, at the end of the 16th Cheshbon, which, and we have a very profound statement by the Baal Chavis Lavavas, Kvar Omar Echad Achad HaChachomim, Mishmitzayr Lefnei Einov Es Hamov Es Lefnei Bo'o, B'yodua Shetikin Es Atzmo. A person who can successfully envision in front of his eyes, even while he's healthy and alive and young, he envisions death, the day of his own death in front of him. That's the healthiest thing in the world. And that, Biyadua, is masakin himself. He has a tikkun. I really hear so many stories about people who are taka very sick and near the end, and they refuse to say vidui. I mean, Shulchan Aruch said that vidui is a school of Rechaz Yomim, actually. Vidui is a good thing. People are amazed. I mean, I went to someone's house once to say vidui. The wife almost chased me out of the house. Chased me out of the house, literally. I had a beggar, please let me say vidui with your husband. And in the end, it was a little late. And I just heard another story just now, personally. You missed the vidui. Nusuk Svardna says vidui every day. They make, you know, they say Shamna Bagadna of the Shemona Esrei. It's a wonderful thing. So what does it mean? You're supposed to think about death. Nothing is more lively, nothing keeps you alive as much as thinking about death. And by the way, this brings us, I must therefore elaborate on what I mentioned last night by Shal Shudis, and which is in Yonah D'Yoyma, and that is the importance in Chodesh Nissan of saying the Nasiyim. Why is it such a big inyan that we should say the Nasi Hayom on every day of the first 12 days of Chodesh Nissan? So there's a Kav HaYoshar. The Kav HaYoshar is Noir V'Oyim. It's a William Digger say for the Kav HaYoshar, Reb Shmuel Kaidenover, who was the Rav of Frankfurt and elsewhere 300 years ago. It's a Heiliger Sefer. Zeh Gehoiben HaSefer. All the Gedoyle HaMusar and Hasidus constantly quoted the Kav HaYoshar. And here in Perek Pei Ches, he says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. We read yesterday, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Lochem is Oisius Melech. To teach you that Nisan is the Melech, is the king and the head of all the months. And he says that in the months of Nisan and in the months of Tishrei, ordinary, he says, in these months, the Neshamas, HaKadoshis, of the Mesim are Mesvalim Alachayim. These two particular months is as man that the Nesim Dafka Davin for us, the living, Nisan and Tishrei. But Nisan is Midas Adin. I mean, Tishrei is Midas Adin. Whereas Nisan is Midas Arachman. The Gevaltiger Rachman. We need Rachman. And he says, therefore, it's a little bit different the way we do things. He says, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, people go on the Kvarim to daven by the Mesim for the Shaykh Niyafar. We have to mire them to have Rachman, us. And then they can daven for us. But in Chodesh it's not necessary. You don't have to go to the cemetery. Some people don't go to the cemetery. Some do, some don't. But Lamaise, Rosh Chodesh, for sure you don't have to go. And the way to Ma'ir the Rachman, he says, this is a bigger Rachman than the sea is so. We don't even know what Sheva we come from. And the truth of the matter is that we are in a conglomeration of genes from all the Shvatim, the Emes. Because all the Shvatim intermarried ultimately. So the Emes is, even though the 10 Shvatim got lost, but the genes are still inside of us. So the Nasi of our particular Sheva, we don't know what Sheva we're from, but the Nasi of, shall we say, every one of us has a predominant the gene factor. You know, it's like the Gemara says in the Pesachim, the Avdalim Abeis, now just to hear the Gemara a little bit better. The Gemara says, Hahud Amar Dunali Dina, a person's ground all the time and say, I want a Din Torah. So the Gemara, Shema Minah, Misheva Don Kasi. It's a riot, it comes to Sheva Don. Because Don Yad Namak, Achat Shifti Yisrael. Hahud Amar Al Kate Yama, Asisna, a Bira Asisna, a person says, if I only had money, I would build myself a gorgeous, gorgeous mansion, Dafka on the seaside. So the Gemara says, it's a raya that it comes from Zvulun, because Zvulun l'chayt yamen. The Shikul Torah they have not an answer, but that's for now. Because really, okay. But what's the one trying to tell us? This is talking about after it's in Bayis Sheni, or in the time of the Meroyim already. And by this time, the 10 Shvatim were gone. So that's what I'm saying. If a person keeps on saying, "I want Din Torah," or he says, "I love the seaside." We don't know what shape we come from today. We don't even know we come from Yehudim B'Yamin. So it's a simon that even today in our confusing times, that person's predominant gene is from Shevet Dan or from Shevet Zvulun L'Chayv Yamin. So the Kitzur, he says that the Nasiim, by saying the Nasi Ayoim, that Nasi, which is our Nasi of our particular Shevet, we don't even know who he is, will daven for us in Shemayim. And afterwards there's a whole Yiratzen, he's supposed to say. There's a whole Yiratzen. And of course he says you should give a lot of tzedakah together with this. Before you read the parasha of Nasi, give tzedakah as much as you can. Because in that way, the tzedakah zuyim azakah, that entire shevet. And he says a beautiful vort b'chlal, which I do quote in my sefer of this part, that the tzedakah is tavlin l'chol atzilus. Tzedakah is like a spice that spices up and seasons every tzvila. As gishmak as our tzvilas are, if you put a little tzedakah into it, it's gorgishmak. It's like I saw a chalon, it's very nice, but if you don't put in some spices and some salt, it's unshkein tam, it's bland. So the best davening is only meat and potatoes. But if you want it to have a gishmak, so you have to put some tzedakah into it before davening. You borrow David, you put it in, just like the tavlin is mamtik, the Michael tzedakah is tov for this. And then he says, you have to read it, to really appreciate, you have to read it inside. He's like this. He says, a person in Chodesh Nisan should particularly have a zinnin, when he davens in the brachas of Kriyashma, Hameir la'oretz v'lador mareh aleha berachamim. Hameir la'oretz, he says, in springtime, Chodesh Nisan, the days get longer, the light is more, so Hameir la'oretz v'lador mareh berachamim, it's a sign that's midas harachamim. To sign me this Arachman. You know, the truth of the matter is that today is the grace of Yahrzeit. Today is the Yahrzeit of Nadav Avihu. And it says, the Mishnah Berurah brings down someplace, that whoever is zoiche to shed a tear over the death of Nadav Avihu is zoiche, is mechaperol as Averis. And therefore, you know, you'll have fast today. Even though you can't usually fast on Rosh Chodesh, you can fast today because it's a tainus for the Heilige Nadav Avihu. And even, you know, usually Chassanim don't fast on Rosh Chodesh, Chassan Kalas, but they can fast on Rosh Chodesh Nisan because it's a tainus tzadikim for Nadav Avihu. And granted, the mistake of Nadav Avihu seems to have been that Nadav Avihu, they wanted to fear Klal Yisrael, Pimidus Adin. Their mistake, Gufa, was they wanted to fear Klal Yisrael al Pimidas Hadin. And that's why Taku Dafkin Nif and Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the Chanukah Samishkan. And Dafka Chodesh Nisan is the time for Rachman. And they Dafka wanted to be the Sadin. In Tishrei is Midas Hadin. In Midas HaRachman is a Nisan. the famous debate in the Gemara of Lazar and Yeshua, when was the Olam created? Was the world created in Nisan or was the world created in Tishrei? So Taisus brings down, Taisus on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph in Rosh Hashanah says that it brings from Ben Tam that it's not a stira. In Rosh Chodesh, in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, so the Bria was all of a Machshava. But the Maisa of the Bria, the Maisa was in Nisan. Now whenever it says in Chazal, ever it says, Kach Olav Machshava, when it says the Machshava, what does it mean? Hashem created the world of Machshava in Chodesh Tishrei, in the world of thought, in his mind, he created in Tishrei. And in the reality, he created in Nisan. What does it mean, Machshava? So no, Machshava always means Midas Hadin. Like when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they were ripping the flesh from Rabbi Akiva, who was dying the most gruesome, horrible death possible. The Gemara Menachos Daf Chaf Testament days. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked Rabbi Yishlom, Zu Taira V'Zu Schara. So Rabbi Yishlom says, Kach Shtoik, be quiet. Kach Olav Machshava Lefanai Tchila. This is my original Machshava. So the Shalach Kodesh Na'alam Mepharshim say that what it means is that you can't ask questions, Moshe. Rabbi Akiva is on the Madrega of Machshava Tchila, because like Rashi says in the Breishis, V'tchila Olav Machshava LaKadosh Baruch Liberais Olam Amidus Hadin. That's why it says Breishis Bar Lakim, Amidus Hadin. Later on it says, V'yoyim Bro Hashem Alakim Shemayim Baruch. Later on Hashem saw the Velt Kim in the sky with Amidus Hadin, so he put Amidus Arachim, Hashem Alakim. But the Machshava Tchila of the Rabbi Yishon was Breishis Bar Lakim Amidus Hadin. So the Rabbi Yishon says, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shtoik, be quiet, you don't understand. Rabbi Kiv is living on the Madrega of Kach Olav Machshava Lefanai Tchila. He's on the highest Madrega of Machshava Lefanai Tchila.